Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
It's our year of new beginnings. My year of new beginnings. New beginnings in my walk with God. New beginnings in my relationships. So old condemned relationships gone.
Yes.
Gone with last year. New beginnings, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
New beginnings in my finances.
New beginnings.
So let's talk about that a bit. New beginnings in our walk with God. When you hear the word of God, I think one of the first things you should think about is your part. What is your part to play when you listen to the word? Because God tells you stuff and you have stuff to do. I like it when I have something I can do when God talks to me. All right? Because that way I can measure the results. God is absolute. He doesn't make mistakes. So he'll never make a mistake. So when he tells me what to do, I can measure with the effort and determination that I put into it what will come out. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So when I hear new beginnings, I want to ask, what's my part to play? Because I should have a part to play. The gospel is free. Salvation is free. But then the preacher has his part to play. He has to go and preach, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So even if it's free, someone has to do something. The person listening to the word of God has his part to play. He has to hear, first and foremost. He has to believe. And he has to declare with his mouth that Jesus is Lord of his life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we all have roles. The Bible says we are laborers together with God. So God is working and we are working. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
I remember one day Jesus healed someone in John 5 on the Sabbath day. And the Jews were angry because he worked a miracle on the Sabbath day. Jesus said, my Father is working and so I'm working. Are you seeing that? He knew he was laboring together with his Father. So he thought, if it's Sabbath day, that's nice. But God is working, and so I'm going to work also. He wants to heal someone, so I'm going to heal somebody also. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So in our lives, we are workers together with God. And so he's working, and we are working. He can't be working on your idol. So he gives you his word, and you must use that word. You must do something with that word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So our year of new beginnings. New beginnings in my walk with God. When I hear that, I begin to think, I have to analyze my walk with God. Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
I have to analyze it. Are there things I need to change? Are there things I need to stop? Maybe last year, I was always procrastinating. Maybe I wanted to fast 3 days. The first day, 12 p.m., I broke my fast. I have to work on that. Are you seeing that?
Yes,
you take time to pause. Your work is not, it's not a mantra. My walk with God, how is it like? New beginnings, that means there are new things God wants me to see. There are new experiences that I would have. But I have to analyze the former one, how it was. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Am I satisfied with my walk with God? Is it good enough? Or was I always procrastinating? You said you were going to read the whole Bible last year. Where are you? Genesis chapter 2. You say you're meditating. No, you're procrastinating. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you analyze that, and you work on being better. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
You work in your walk. You work on being better in your walk with God. It's not going to come upon you like a baptism. Nobody wakes up in the morning and say, ha! Ha! Now I want to pray. Ha! Even if you do, I'm giving you 1 week, and I'm not a bad belly, but 1 week or two, and you grow tired. Because you have to consistently fan the flame. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Have you seen it? Do you know there have been dangerous fires in this world? Fire breakouts. I think in the U.S., California, there was the whole forest burning. But do you know no fire lasts forever?
Yes.
No matter how wild it is when it starts. They say the whole... Okay, not so late because we are here. Jebode. Sambisa. Oh, wow, okay. Where should burn? Where the terrorists are? But I say a whole city was burning. it's not going to burn forever. It will die out. And so you might feel excited about the word of God at one period of your life. But you have to be real. That excitement might not last forever because there are different things that will get your attention. But you have to deliberately fan the excitement. So the fire might not last forever unless someone keeps going to fan it. Are you seeing that? Going to pour fuel. Then it will burn forever. Praise the Lord. So you analyze your walk with God. Okay, first question. Do you even have a walk with God? I think that's where we should start. Or you are just a churchgoer and you move with the popular themes in Christianity. There are people like that. They don't have a walk with God. They don't know what God is saying right now. They are the ones always going up and down for encounters. After the first encounter, they go for another one. Why? Because between that period, the encounter is gone. They don't have a walk with God. They don't know they're supposed to have a walk with God. Oh boy. They don't know. They just go to church. Someone drags them to church. They're just living their life. No personal communion with God, the one who made you. So how are you going to cope in heaven or in a new earth when everything is God? How? He says, some folks, I just think, how are you going to cope in heaven? The way you're living your life right now. You say, we are just, really? You think so? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So do you even have a walk with God? Does God talk to you? Does he talk to you, really? Think about it. I want you to really think about what I'm saying. Or wherever you are right now. You know, you're just going with the flow. Whatever popular Christians around you are doing, you do. Whatever they are not doing, you don't do. Whatever they are mocking, you mock. As though you know something. There are people like that once. Every Christian is mocking a particular thing. Day to day, start mocking it. As though mocking something means you know anything. Whatever people are making fun of, Christians are making fun of you to make fun of, to act as though you are part of them. All of that thing, all of those things, distractions, you focus on your life. Do you have a walk with God? Does God talk to you? Do you know what he wants for your life? These are important questions that you must find out, you must walk on, you must walk with. And not just go with the flow. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Do you know, in the day of Noah, only Noah was a righteous man? One person. Think about that. Someone says his family. No, not his family. It was him and his family that were saved because of him. In the whole of Sodom, think about the whole of Sodom. God could not find two families that were righteous. Only Lot. Even his wife ended up being Ajinomoto. And his children too, the ones that refused to come. Only one person. Imagine if they were going with the flow. So you shouldn't go with the flow. Whether it's in Christianity as a whole or the world as a whole, God wants to deal with you as an individual. And so you focus on your walk with him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Yeah. That's what he wants. So, if you don't have a walk with God, let's start with that. Where do you start? Where do you start? Firstly, you have to be born again. That's where it starts. Being born again. That's how you begin to walk with the real God. You know, when we say walk with God, I don't mean walk with any God. Someone says, I might not come to church, but every morning, I do like this. What's that? To the God of my fathers. You are just spooky, and you're wasting time. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, not any God. You walk with God through the Lord Jesus, through his word. That's what I'm trying to say. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
Someone says, I go to church and I go to mosque. Anyone? I've seen people like that. You are not a decisive person. You don't know what you're doing. We don't just walk with any God. Besides, there are no other gods, just one. And he is the Father. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Every other one is either a demon or an innocent animal who decided to worship. God chose Jesus. All right? The Bible says, through his resurrection, God chose him. Go to Romans 1, verse 4. Romans 1, verse 4. It says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. It's common sense. God proved by raising Jesus from the dead that this is the man you should listen to. I've said it many times. You have different religions, different prophets, different people that claim something. When they die, that's the end. And God thinks you should be wise enough to know if they are dead, their message should be dead with them. But when Jesus died, not even for himself, but for the sins of the world, God thought, nope, listen to this man. So he brought him back. So Jesus is alive. And he's alive in me. Praise the Lord. So you start by being born again. When you're born again, that's great. Then you begin your journey, your walk with God. How? You begin to renew your mind. That's the second thing. You renew your mind with the word of God. There's a popular verse, Amos 3, verse 3. It says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Have you seen that before?
Yes, Pastor.
Let's look at it, Amos 3, verse 3. I'm sure the reason why you're quiet is because you're listening to me, right?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay, Amos 3, verse 3. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Of course, the answer is no. If they are not agreed, I mean, they can't walk together. Imagine both of us, just normal walk. Let's go and get something to eat. You say you want Chicken Republic. I say I want KFC. We can't walk together. Even if they're in the same place, different parts when we get there. Are you seeing that?
Yes,
so even physically, unless we agree where we are going to, we can't walk together. So if you're going to walk with God, you have to agree with him. Meaning that God has ideas you have to agree with. God has thoughts you have to replace your own thoughts with. God has opinions you have to drop your own for. Are you seeing that? That's how you begin. You have to agree with him. You are the one to agree with God. Doesn't agree with you. If he agrees with you, that's a problem. I know one person it seemed like he agreed with. His name, Balaam. It was a donkey, an animal that saved Balaam eventually. So God doesn't agree with you. You agree with him. You find out, what are you saying? Yes, sir, I agree. And so you can't walk with God without knowing his opinions, his thoughts, his ideas, his principles. That's where it starts. Walking with God is not what you feel like. Oh, today I just feel the presence of God. Entering the bus. Oh, God is here. Are you sure it's not cold that is catching you? It's about agreeing with him. His principles. He says, Jesus said something. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And you don't do what I say. It's an amazing thing. That's what he said. Because there are people like that. Oh, I just love the Lord. But they don't even know what he's saying to agree with him or to do it. I remember something Jesus said. Okay, let's see it together. I go to Mark 7. I like it so much. Mark 7. Because people always use it when they want to say worship is not about song. Mark 7. But I like the fact that Jesus actually mentioned it, that God said it. Mark 7, verse 6. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
7, verse 6. He says, he answered and said unto them, Jesus is talking, well hath Esaias prophesied of it as Isaiah, hypocrite. As it is written, these people honored me with their lips, but their heart is what?
Far from me.
It's God that told them through Isaiah. And Jesus is quoting this. Meaning this is a serious situation. God himself said it through a powerful prophet, then Jesus quoted it. This is serious. Look at it. He says, these people honored me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Meaning that when you listen to them, oh my goodness. I remember when I was in school, we were interviewing some folks who wanted to work as workers. And I remember we asked, as a worker, when do you think you should come to church? Some people said 3 hours before the service. 3 hours. It's not even realistic. What are you going to do there? He said 3 hours for the service. Sweet. He said, three. I said, yes, 3 hours. Why? Because they want to be accepted. After they got in, they are still being followed up. It's easy to talk. It is where your heart is that is important. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you want to walk with God? First, you have to renew your mind. You have to accept that there are some things you think about life, about God, about yourself that might change. You have to accept it. God has his own ideas. God has his ideas about life. How you should walk. And so if you're going to walk with him, you have to drop whatever you have learned. Go to Romans 12 verse 2. There are people who think it's so sad. Because then how can you walk with God? If you think that God's ways cannot be known. God is mysterious. If it is his will. There are people like that. Everything, if it is your will, if it is your will, if it is your will. Even God is tired. at Romans 12 verse 2. Are you in this place?
Yes,
it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I said that's number two. Number one, get born again. Number two, renew your mind. It says, there's a reason. There's a reason why he wants you to renew your mind. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He said, look at you. He says, a time can come in your life, you can prove God's will. You can prove it. You can say, look, this is not the will of God. You will not need to hear the voice of God from the sky. You will know, this is not what I should do. This is not what we should do. He says, that would happen when you renew your mind. That means you started walking with God. You're a man or a woman of God. Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
You renew your mind. You renew your mind. And what do you use to renew your mind? The word of God. God has his thoughts, his ideas, his principles, and they are all in the word. So you want to walk with God, you start by walking with the word. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You start by walking with the word. That's what you do. Then, how do I know I'm walking with God? You see, the word of God begins to minister to you. When you renew your mind with the word, and you know the word of God, it begins to minister to you. For example, maybe something happens and there's a tendency for you to worry. But then the word of God, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Please listen to me. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that the word of God came to the prophet. Have you seen that before in your Bible?
Yes.
The word of God came to him. Not an angel of God. Not a ghost. The word of God came to him. So, when you get born again, and you have the word of God, it gets to a point in life that the word of God comes to you. Something happens, and before you can react, you hear Philippians 4 verse 6, be anxious for nothing. God has talked to you. Are you seeing that? At times, you want to, your friend sends you a video, you know this is your friend, his life is like this. But sends you a video, and before you download it, the word of God comes to you. Philippians 4 verse 8. He tells you the thoughts you should think. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The word of God begins to minister to you. I remember a friend of mine. Go to 1 Timothy. Let me just show you. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Read chapter 2 now. Just 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 2. Right? A friend of mine, should I call him a friend? Yeah, a friend of mine, was telling me how that while he was in school, he liked a lady so much. But his father always told him that if he didn't have money, and he wasn't ready. He should not be involved with any lady. So he went back and cried. I hope he doesn't hear this message. Anyways. All right, and cried and cried and cried. He said, while he was thinking about that, this was the word that came to his heart. He said, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. God talked to him. I know God talked to him because he showed me the word of God. That's the one we can prove. Not the one you just say, and God, I feel that maybe, look, if it's left for some people. Because, you know, they try to deceive us. Because God is a spirit and cannot be seen. Anybody can wake up one morning and say, God told me. God told me. God told me. But when you bring the word, I'll believe you. Because this is the word. So God begins to minister to you through his word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he said when this came to him, he left it. Because God had talked to him. That's your sister. Are you seeing that?
Yes,
God had talked to him. Not the one that said, as I was crying, then I opened my eyes and I saw white paper. Then I looked and I saw black cloth. White paper, wedding gown. Black cloth, suit. God has talked to me. You are the only person you are deceiving is yourself. So God begins to talk to you through his word. And this one is more sure. That's what I'm saying. That idea or those complaints, I don't know if it's my mind or if it's something that is telling me. Is it my mind? Is it a ghost? Is it Satan? Once it comes through the word like this, you know for sure it is the word of God.
Yes.
You got someone who says, I gave everything in church. Say, you did what? Say, yes. He said, because I remember that widow in Luke 22 or 21 rather. Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay, so that's the word of God. Let me tell you why. When you have the word of God like this, and you act on the word of God like this, no matter what happens, contrary to the word of God, you have something you can hold. Are you seeing that? When you pray about a situation, you can say, God, you told me not to be anxious, and so I'm not going to be anxious. You have his word.
But if it's paper and cloth,
breeze will throw. I mean, so. Let me tell you a story. Don't tell anybody. Okay, if I hear it outside, all of you. When I had read a book when I was in secondary school, late into secondary school, about to go. And this book talked about people, how they did wonderful things after they received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. So speaking in tongues was so wonderful according to the book. Do you understand? And it is wonderful. And so I said, I'm going, I want to speak in tongues. Now, one of the stories, you know, some people prayed for, was it 5 hours every day or 6 hours? And they fasted and then finally the Holy Ghost hits them. And they started speaking in tongues. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
So I said, that's what I'm going to do. Now, I can't pray for 5 hours or 6 hours. That was my thought, but I can fast. So I fasted till 5 p.m. I don't forget my mom coming to my room and said, what kind of fasting are you even doing? She said, we'll fast till 3, something 6. Why are you breaking by 5? And I thought she don't understand. The reason why I stopped by 5 was because that extra 1 hour was a fight of faith. And I agreed I lost. Do you understand? All right. So, I then came up with this useless idea that I will not fall in this life until the day that when I'm falling, I'm speaking in tongues. Because that's how all of them, most of them received it. They fell and they spoke in tongues. Do you understand? So, I made a resolve that the day God, I fall, it will be to speak in tongues. All right. I just wonder what God thought. All right. So I finished secondary school, didn't fall, didn't speak in tongues. Got to university, didn't fall, didn't speak in tongues. One day, my friend, you know, year one, we're doing something, and she pushed me and I fell. I was so angry. I was so angry. She didn't even understand the depth of my anger. This evil friend. And of course, I wasn't speaking in tongues because she was playing. I was so angry. But here's the point. That useless resolve I made had no basis in the Word of God. Are you seeing that?
Yes,
has no basis. And so, someone can start working with God and start making useless resolves. Someone said, I made a covenant with God. If I get into school, I will read Genesis to Revelation. Covenant with God. Do you know how they make covenants? A covenant, two people have to come together and agree. This is a covenant. Do you understand?
Yes,
only you talked. You said you made a covenant with God. Did he agree? Say you swore, you promised God. I promised God. You didn't make a covenant with him. When God cut a covenant with Abraham, he was there. When he cut a covenant with children of Israel, he was there. You, nobody there. You just woke up one morning and said, it's God. Then you go around and say, I made a covenant with my God. He wasn't part of it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. All of that to say that you walk with God through his word. Through his word. And let me tell you something. The word of God begins to minister to you. At times, there's a project you want to embark on. And John 7 verse 6 comes to mind. What's in John 7 verse 6? Let's go there. John 7 verse 6. And Jesus said, my time is not yet come. So that project, God is telling you, hey, not now. Are you seeing that? Other times, go to Joshua 1 verse 6. It might be the same project, and yet God says to you, Joshua 1 verse 6. Be strong and of a what? Good courage. Yeah. So that's how the word comes to you. You receive the word of God comes to you. You have a project. See, you're walking with God. Your life becomes a rhapsody of the word of God. And you can bank your life on it because you know it's in the Bible, it's in the Word. You will not live your life thinking, I'm not even sure if it was God that told me, but I just felt like it, Sha. You have the Word of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. So, new beginnings in your walk with God. You begin to analyze, how much of the Word of God do I even know? God wants to minister to you. He has to use His Word. How much do I even know? Someone can say, are you saying God cannot minister to me through a dream? He can. All right? He can through visions. But all of that must be rooted in the Word of God. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah. There are people who dream dreams. Have you ever dreamt a strange dream before? You wake up and say, what kind of dream is this one again? I didn't take it serious because you know it's not a serious dream. Only you dreamt. You were climbing wall. You want to catch thief. And then you chase. And then you flew down. When you wake up, God is not telling you to go and be Spider-Man. It's a useless dream. Because people think every dream must have a special meaning. Every dream must have a special meaning. Do you know the Bible is full of people that dreamt? How many had a special meaning? Not many. So at times you dream because you thought of something. There's some of you now. Some people have a stronghold. Every time you dream, you're back in your secondary school. You're back in your primary school. You're back in your former house. There are people like that here. You're all looking at me. You want me to mention your name? And you think God is, and you, anytime you wake up from that dream, you're sad. Because you're feeling that that means you're not making progress spiritually. It's a lie. You dreamt about your secondary school because you were there. Most people had the most beautiful experiences in their secondary school. That's why you keep dreaming about it. Not because you're not making progress in life. See, so right now, physically, this is where I am. But spiritually, I'm still a student. And they put themselves in bondage. Then Satan begins to torment. And you see, when you walk with God through his word, all those things would not affect you the way it affects others. There are people that live their life thinking God is angry with them. And you ask, what exactly did you do? They can't point one thing. So you walk with God through his word. How much of the word of God do you know? And Jesus is impressed when your heart is set on his word. He's impressed. In Matthew 8 and Luke 7, the Bible says the centurion servant was grievously tormented with paralysis. In Matthew 8, he came to meet Jesus. And Jesus said, okay, I'm coming to heal him. He said, Master, please don't come. Speak the word. And Jesus looks around and said, in all of Israel, I've not seen this kind of faith. That's me, I'm here. And someone says, I should not come. I should just talk. Oh, boy. See how impressed he was. He looked at them and said, people will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you'll be cast out. Because this was a Gentile. And see how much faith he had in the word of God. He thought Jesus, not vision. Real Jesus didn't need to come. He preferred his word. So why wait till you pray? You want to pray and then you see a spirit tell you. No, prefer the word.
Yes.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Prefer the word. So your determination should be to know God's word so he can talk to you. So you'll not be asking questions. Is it God? Is it not God? It's in the word. So your walk with God, you analyze it. I'm going to know God's word very well this year. I'm going to spend time with the word of God. No more maybe not when it comes to God. I'm going to know God's word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah. God should talk to you through his word. There are people that are always going around looking for prophets wearing white. Or think about it. You're walking on the street on your own. Then someone meets you because the person is wearing white. The person says, come. I see something in your future. You too, you go. You don't know who the person is. You too, you go. So what I see in my future. And it's normally nothing very good. Of course not. If you're a Christian, you say, keep it. But of course, if you don't even know your future. There are people that are always going around looking for someone to prophesy that it will be great. There are people like that. They like to hear it. Every time there's a prophetic service, they're going, waiting for someone to tell you, you'll be great, you'll be prosperous. Ha! Wait until they tell you, you'll not be great. I wonder what will happen. Know God's word yourself. Are you in this place?
Yes, ma'am.
We all have access to the word of God. And God is no respecter of persons. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me show you something. Go to John 14. So I said, walk with God. Walk with God through his word. John 14, verse 6. Walk with God through his word. That means know the word of God. Please know the word of God. I just can't, oh dear Lord. And insist on the word of God. You know,
I was talking with Nifed, or she was talking to me, and she asked me a question. And then I gave just one response, yes. Now, in my mind, I was busy, so I said yes, but I was going to eventually explain it. Do you understand? So she asked a question on WhatsApp. I'm sure she remembers. I said yes. So I got busy with other things. So when I came back on, I saw a message. She was like, please, can you share some verses? And I was so excited because I was actually going to share some verses. You just don't take what people tell you. Doesn't matter who they are. Let me tell you something. It is the word of God that will remain. It doesn't matter who they are. Even me. There should be a verse. Nobody should feel threatened when you ask for the word of God as a proof of what they are saying. Why should you feel? That means you don't know the word of God. Someone comes and tells you, right now there are three angels protecting us. The one is from what now? Galilee, straight from Jesus' town. The other one is from Bethlehem, another of his town. The other one is from where? Heaven. Everywhere Jesus is, there are angels. It might be true. Listen, I'm not trying to say it's a lie. But help yourself and ask for the word that you can use. Are you seeing it? Help yourself. Say, okay, I agree. But can you show me a verse that I can use? Because I don't want to live my life based on your opinions. You did not create me. You did not die for my soul. You don't love me as much as God does. Why should I live my life based on something you said? No. I'm going to live my life based on the word of God. Are you in this place?
Yes,
Pastor. Yeah. So I'm not saying the person you're wrong, but ask extra. Can we have a verse? Can I have a verse? Don't be like a child tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Every new teaching, you agree. You start sounding like every new teaching. Because you don't know God's word. It's not like they're wrong, but you don't know what you're doing yet. Prioritize the word of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Please do. Please. There are people right now that think there's a verse in the Bible that doesn't exist in the Bible because they heard it somewhere. They think so. Ask someone, open Ezekiah 2 verse 4. Ezekiah. There's no Ezekiah in the Bible. But they don't even know. Open Zacchaeus 3 verse 8. I know it. I know Zacchaeus. Very close. Very close to where? Know God's word. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Else, what are you doing in this world? You know all the useless things they're not supposed to know that will not bring them money. They know all the football clubs, all the managers from 1982. When were they born? 1992. But they know all of them. All the game score for every game Nigeria has played in the Olympics, they know. They know the referee. They know the coach. They know everything, but they don't know Bible. What a waste. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you walk with God by walking with his word. At times someone can tell you something and they don't provide a verse, but while the person is telling you, you're remembering a verse of scripture. Do you understand?
Yes.
They're not saying, go and be a police. So that thing you just said now. Where is the verse? You know, at times the word of God ministers to you as the person is talking. Do you understand?
Yes.
But if you don't know the word, how would he even minister to you? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. John 14, verse 16. Rounding up. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Say glory.
Glory.
Some people did not shout. I'll come for you later. Verse 16. Just talking. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth. So he's telling you who the comforter is. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
This comforter is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So he's saying it's not for everybody. Because it seeth him not. You know, there are people who say that Jesus is a prophet. They agree. But Jesus said there will be another comforter, and that's Muhammad. So Muhammad is greater because Jesus prophesied about Muhammad. Well, firstly, this comforter is a spirit. So, was Muhammad a spirit? Maybe. Whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not.
Did we see or did they see him when he was alive?
Yes.
So he's not the comforter. Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
So not only, there are many, oh dear Lord. When I was in school, there was this lady, Braille message, something like that, light of the truth. And he's the guy who wrote it under a pseudonym. That means nobody knows who he is, said he was the comforter. I told you, anybody can just wake up and say whatever they like. Are you in this place? Anybody. The word of God is more sure. So if we can see that person, he's not the comforter. It says, because he teareth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be what? If he's not also in you, he's not the comforter. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, because there are people who are being led astray right now because there's someone that said they are actually the Holy Ghost and they are given wisdom. Anyways, that's the detail. So, verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So Jesus is talking. He's saying, listen, I'm going. He's telling them he's about to be killed and resurrect and ascend. He says, I'm going, but I'll pray the Father and he will send you another comforter. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
Here he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. How? Through the comforter. And that comforter is the Spirit of truth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. Now, go back to verse 16. It says, I'll pray the Father and I'll give you another comforter. What does that mean? It means that Jesus was a comforter. So we can tell what type of comfort we should expect from this comforter. When Jesus walked on the earth, what kind of comfort did he give? That is the kind of comfort we should expect from this comforter. Are you in this place?
Yes,
so here you have Jesus. Jairus came to call him to heal his daughter. She was about to die. And Jesus gets distracted by one woman and her faith. And the woman delayed before they found the woman. Meanwhile, Jairus had an urgent situation. His daughter is about to die. And he was the one who came to call Jesus. Who on earth is this woman? But then Jesus stops and says, someone touched me. And nobody says anything. And Jairus is wondering, let's go. And he just said, no, someone touched me. Then he starts looking around. You can imagine what Jairus is thinking. Hey, God, who is that? Who is that? Then the woman comes. That's her. She comes and then she starts narrating her life story. And Jesus is listening to her. And then by the time they're done, Jesus said, woman, your faith has made you whole. Jesus said, that's all you wanted to say. And immediately they're done, some people come from Jairus's house and said, don't trouble the master. Your daughter is dead. Ah! If you were Jairus, what would you do to that woman? You'd be angry at the woman, you'd be angry at Jesus. He said, Shemi, the woman is healed already. You should have left her now, so he's about to die. But look at Jesus. Go to Mark 5. Verse 25. You can imagine. Immediately, Jesus was ready to go. Someone says, don't. The way they put it, don't trouble him. We need not disturb him. She has died. She has died. Mark 5, verse 25 now. Go to 35. Philip, you should be walking with me. Huh? All right, 35. While he had spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain who said, thy daughter is dead. Why troubles the master any further? So Jesus just finished with this woman, and now they're saying, let him go. She's already dead. Verse 36. Before Jairus could say, ah! Have you ever seen kids when they fall? They fall and then the mother says, shh. So the baby looks. The baby knows something should happen right now. And nobody shouts. So they continue playing. All right, so Jairus just heard his daughter was dead. Before he could say, hey, Jesus said, be not afraid. Only believe. What comfort. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. No. He said, be not afraid. Don't get scared. He said, only believe. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And what happened? He went and he raised the girl from the dead. So that's comfort. I call it active comfort, not passive. Comfort that fixes the problem.
Yeah.
That's the comfort Jesus gives.
That's the one the Holy Spirit would give. It will fix the problem.
That's comfort. So when he says another comforter, he's saying, I'm sending another fixer. Someone that will fix it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Not someone that will cry. We'll cry with you. We'll cry with you. It's good to cry with you, but fix it. Right? Because you're already crying. What do you need extra crying for? The Bible says, mourn with those that mourn. Okay. So you that you're crying is not enough. Someone should go and cry. So both of you are crying. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he says, another comforter. Here's my point. You're walking with God, but you have to realize that the word of God that you receive can fix things. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
Can fix things. You don't have to be stuck in that situation. There can be a change. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There can be a change. So he said, another comforter. That word can also be rendered helper. All right? Another helper. He will help you. The Holy Ghost. He will give you counsel. I want to show you one counsel before we go. Matthew 5. You should see it. It's so nice. Matthew 5. When I drive, I remember this counsel. But then you have the Holy Ghost who will bring. Remember what Jesus said about the Holy Ghost? Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
He said he will bring to remembrance all that I've said. I mean, the Holy Ghost will bring to you the word of God.
Yes.
Are you seeing that?
Yes,
so that one that I said, at times you want to be anxious. Then you remember Philippians 4 verse 6. That is the Holy Ghost bringing it to you. You are walking with God through the Holy Ghost. He will bring to remembrance what Jesus said. Now look at this counsel. He's going to give you advice when you need one. Some might not seem so supernatural, but it'll be effective. Matthew 5 verse 25. He also said it in Luke 12, but let's look at this one. Jesus is talking. He says, agree with thy adversary quickly while thou art in way with him. KJV. He says, lest that any time the adversary delivered it to the judge, and the judge delivered it to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verse 26. Verily I say unto you, thou shalt not means come out till thou hast paid the uttermost. What John says, you're owing somebody money, and they come for you. Settle with them fast. Because Jesus is promising you that if they put you in that prison, even if you have half, you will not come out. This is a normal situation. Are you in this place? Where is your, let's say police stop you on the road. You're carrying something without a receipt, but it's your own. But you should have a receipt because it's new. And the truth is, you might be angry at police, but if you stole it, the person you stole it from would like for the police to stop you. Are you seeing that? Because then you can say, this Nigerian police, they just stopped me, asked me for a receipt. How can I carry a receipt? They don't know if you're a thief. So do I look like a thief? They don't write it on the forehead. So let's say the police stop you, you have no receipt. He said, please, I'm sorry, I don't have a receipt. Agree with him quickly. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't do strong head. Say, it is mine. It is my property. Okay. He said, if they put you in the prison. All right. So he can give counsel like this. I'm going to say, if you know the word of God, your life will be a rhapsody of the word of God. Are you seeing it? He can give counsel. Then he can also tell you, Matthew 17, the Bible says, he told Peter, go, cast your hook. The first fish that comes up, open the mouth, you see a coin. That's a supernatural advice. But it worked. Are you in this place?
Yes,
it worked. At times you're in that place, ready for an interview, but you're late. But the word that comes is, go. Go forward. You remember Moses? So that's God telling you that, don't worry, you're late, but go. Are you in this place?
Yes.
The word tells you, don't look back. Because you don't do it for all sorts. See? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Your life becomes glorious. You are certain about life because you know the word of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This is another comforter who would comfort you, would fix the problem, would help you. He'll give you counsel. He'll tell you what to do. I was just thinking during the week, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What a statement. Do you know that Jesus told a man who was blind to go and wash his eyes in the pool of Siloam. And he went and came saying, he really is the light of the world. If you follow his advice, you would have the light of life. It might not make sense to others. But say, if you follow him, you'll not walk in darkness. And you follow him through the word. He's also your advocate. And this is where we end today. That word comforter can also be rendered advocate. That means he's your lawyer. So in case you do anything wrong, in case you make a mistake, you have an advocate. Someone that will help you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You're walking with God, but what if you make a mistake? There's an advocate. Someone that can clean the mess up. Let me take a detour. Go to 1 John 2, verse 1. Maybe you heard something from the Spirit of God, but you didn't do it. You didn't do it. The word of God came strong to you about it, but you didn't do it. Guess what? He will never leave you nor forsake you.
Yes.
That's what he said. He will never forsake you. So maybe he actually gave you the word. But instead of following the word, you did your own thing and you missed that opportunity. He's still there with you. He's still ready to help you. What if you committed a sin? That means you did something really bad. He's there. He's there. Verse 1. Are you in this place?
Yes,
he says, my little children, these things write unto you that ye see not. I like it so much. Look at that. He says it is possible for you not to see not. See, that's why you have the word of God. He says, these things write unto you that ye see not. There are people who think all their life they have to sin. We all sin, even when I sin. Well, the kind of life you want to live is found in your mouth. You keep singing when I sin, and you don't do anything wrong. Very soon you will sin. We're saying this is why he wrote, that he don't sin. That's why you have the word of God. It will guide you, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That ye sin not. And if, that means it's possible. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So if you make a mistake, you do something wrong, you have an advocate with the Father. I like it. It means it is the Father that employed that lawyer for you. What an unfair advantage you have. God, the judge, is the one who got a lawyer for you. He says, we have an advocate with the Father. And I like the description. He didn't say Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He didn't say Jesus Christ, the Most Holy One. He said Jesus Christ. He didn't tell you the kind of lawyer you have. This is Jesus Christ, the righteous. Meaning that when we are checking his CV, he has never lost a case. He's always right. And that is the one that the judge employed for you. Boy. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Let me tell you something. I've said it before. A good lawyer, all right?
Yes, Pastor.
Will help his clients, even if the client is guilty. A bad lawyer, even if the client is innocent, would not help the client. We want to know a good lawyer. It's a lawyer that the client is guilty, but from somewhere, nowhere, the lawyer found evidence that it's not his client that did it. Where's the client? And convinces the judge, the jury, that the client is innocent. But it's the client. But look at his track record, he has never left the case. Now the Bible says Jesus Christ is righteous, meaning that he can make things right. Listen, let me give you an example. Let's say someone killed someone, all right, and was arrested. But the person has such a crooked lawyer that the lawyer goes and pays someone that is already in prison. That should be, how many years extra would they add to? You're already in prison. Take 1 million, but confess you are the one that did it. And that person in prison confesses that he's a guilty person. The guy who actually killed will go. Not because he's innocent, because of his blood. So you see, lawyers are very important. Very important. If you watch cases, you can have someone who is innocent, but the lawyer, the prosecuting lawyer, would convince, the way the person asks a question, the person will not even know when the person says, actually, I think I did it too. Because it's about the lawyer. And that's why when someone is, you know, arrested, they ask, who's the lawyer? Say, is that lawyer? Say, ah, is that one? Oh. He's a lawyer.
So he tells you, your lawyer, Jesus Christ is righteous, meaning that if you do something wrong, this lawyer can prove to the judge that whatever punishment you should have faced, someone already faced it for you. And guess what? He's the lawyer. He's the one who faced it for you, and he's right there. So you should not face any punishment for what you did wrong. Are you seeing that? Someone already faced it for you, and it's him, the person who is defending you. Jesus Christ, the righteous. So don't let a mistake you made years ago determine how you walk with God today. Even if it was yesterday you made a mistake, there can be a fresh start. Don't let the devil intimidate you with guilt that you should not carry. You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous. And the Bible says if you confess your sins, he's able to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Some people think if they check their track record of heaven, when they get to heaven, there'll be a sheet. Then they'll see cancellation. Cancellation, question mark. So cancellation, God has forgiven you. God has forgiven you. The question mark, pending. Cancellation, that one is very bad. No, the Bible says he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Meaning that when we check that record, you did nothing wrong. We can't find cancellation. We can't find question mark. It's clean sheets. Meaning Satan can't take advantage of that punishment with sickness. It's clean. So why would you let thoughts of the past limit your walk with God today? Don't. Are you in this place? Don't. He is willing, waiting, eagerly waiting for you. I remember the story of the prodigal son. It touches me so much. Luke 15. The son took all his portion of his father's properties and went and wasted it, squandered it. Wasted until he had nothing. Absolutely nothing. What a fool. Had nothing. Then he went and started feeding pigs. And he got so hungry that he could have ate what the pigs were eating. Then the Bible says he came to himself. That means he received sense. And he said, my father has servants. And they eat. They don't go hungry. So he said, I'll return to my father. And I'll say, he prophesied everything he was saying. Planned it. So I told my father, I said, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your servants. And he was going, hoping his father would accept him. Because he was the one who left. But the Bible says, while he was in the way, oh, praise the Lord. Yeah. The father was looking out for him. He was thinking the father, he would beg the father. He didn't know the father had been anticipating his return since. Before he got to the house, the father ran to meet him. He signed the statement, the speech he had prepared. Remember, he said, he would say, Father, I am no longer worthy to call your son. Make me as one of your servants. His father came for him in his mind. Is that speech? Once his father hugged, he said, Father, I'm not going. That's what he said. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. The father did not let him finish. He said, bring the robes. Bring the ring. Kill the fatted calf. He said, this my son was lost and now he is found. The father had been waiting for him since. New beginnings in your walk with God. There are levels in your relationship with God. God has been waiting for you to reach since. Don't let the past mistakes. Someone says, that's how I always do every beginning of the year. New Year resolution. By February, I've forgotten it. New beginnings. That means even in your commitment, things are new. Praise the Lord. God has been waiting for you. So start. Praise the Lord. Start. Say, I am on a journey with God. And it only gets better and better. My path is as a shining light, shining brighter and brighter onto the perfect day. He leads me on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Is that true? Where you are, just go ahead and thank him. And recommit yourself to the Lord.